right, let's get started. Welcome to Sunday School. It's good to see you all out. Lots of room at the front. If you want to get closer, that's fine. So, as you know, we've been studying the perfections or the attributes of God. We are desiring to know God. We're desiring to know Him as He has described Himself and revealed Himself in the Word so that we can better walk with Him, so that we can better praise Him. And so we are continuing in that study of God's attributes, of His perfections. And just quickly again, the definition that we have from the source that we're using, which is Biblical Doctrine by MacArthur and Mayhew, the definition is: God's perfections are the essential characteristics of His nature. Because these characteristics are necessary to His nature, all His attributes are absolutely perfect and thus rightly called perfections. Further, since these perfections are essential to God's nature, if any one of them were denied, God would no longer be God. So we see that it's very important to understand who God is, how He's revealed Himself to be, such that we know Him for who He truly is. And that prevents us from worshiping a false god of our own imagination. Because the only way we can worship the one true God is to worship Him as He has revealed Himself to be. We've been looking at the two different categories of those perfections, the communicable and the incommunicable. The incommunicable ones are characteristics that are perfections of God alone, that only He has. The communicable are those that in some sense or in some ways or in some portion are shared with humanity, with humans, in which it is possible for humans to have some part in one of these characteristics of God. And we're now well into the communicable attributes. Last time we covered God's wisdom, and this week we're going to be covering God's truth and faithfulness. Let's open in prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father God, you are a good and mighty God. You are indeed our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. And we just praise your holy name. We rejoice in who you are. We rejoice that you have blessed us to be able to come together this morning as the body of Christ, to hear your word taught, to sing your praises, to pray together, and to fellowship with your people. What a wonderful blessing that is. And so as we now come to Sunday school, we ask, Lord, that you would be at work in us by your Holy Spirit to help us to understand your word. Father, help me to teach well, to teach faithfully who you are from your word. Make up for my lack, I pray. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's truth and faithfulness, that's two different attributes or characteristics that really go hand in hand. And so we're going to study them together. They define it as such in the text. God's truth and faithfulness are the perfect correspondence of God's nature with what God should be, with the reliability of His words and deeds, and with the accuracy of His knowledge, thoughts, and words. So God is the truth. God defines truth. What He says is true. What He does is true. His character is the very definition of truth. So when we evaluate a statement for whether it's true or not, we're measuring how much does it accord with the truth that is defined by God's nature, with the truth that is defined by His will, with the truth that is defined by His word. So, in other words, God is not measured by the truth. Truth is measured by God. And our ability to know the truth is directly correlated to our ability to know God Himself. If we don't know God, we don't know the truth. And hand in hand with that goes faithfulness. God is faithful. Because He is true, He is also faithful. He always comes through. He always fulfills His covenants, His commitments, His promises, His purposes, His prophecies. Because He is the truth, He is faithful to accomplish all that which He has said He will accomplish. He does not fail to act according to his word and his character. He is faithful to accomplish all things. So let's go to the word and look at some scripture references that bring out the truth and faithfulness of God. Again, we're going to be going through quite a few references. If you want to turn to them, you're welcome to. I'm going to read them just off the paper here because I've collated them all together. If you want to just write down the references so you have them for later, that might be helpful as well. But first, we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. They have made me jealous with what is not God. Oh, I'm sorry. First, let me give you the category that we're in. First, point number one, he is the only real God. Thus, he is true in contrast to the false gods. So because he is the only real God, thus he is true. And that's in contrast to the false gods, the idols of our imagination. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a wickedly foolish nation. So here God is speaking about the unfaithfulness of Israel. And he's saying very specifically, they have made me jealous with what is not God. Because God is the one true God, and he is jealous that the worship that he is due would be directed to him alone. There is therefore an anger, a wrath of God towards those who would prop up a false God. So these idols are not real. They are not God. He is the only true God. Psalm 96, verse 5. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. He is the one true God. He is true, and therefore all other gods are false. Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8. Not to us, O Yahweh, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. And truth here could also be translated faithfulness. Because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell. As for their hands, they do not feel. As for their feet, they do not walk. They do not make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. So again, we have God rebuking the idols, demonstrating that they are not true gods, that they are simply things that have been crafted by man's hands. But the way that this psalmist opens this is saying, give glory to your name, God, because of who you are, because of your loving kindness, and because of your truth, because you are true and the idols are false. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says this about himself. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus, being God the Son, is truth. Jesus is truth, and the other gods, therefore, are false. John 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So again, the only true God is Yahweh God, the God of the Bible. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So we see here the God the Father being called the truth. He is true. And we see here also God the Son, who we are in, is also true. He is the one true God, and with him is eternal life. Second heading is God cannot lie or repent like a man, that is, in such a way that his word is untrue. So God cannot lie or repent in the same way that man does, because He is true. Everything he says and does is true, and he acts always in accordance with his character, and therefore he cannot lie. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not establish it? So God doesn't change. God doesn't lie. He doesn't repent. He is God, and he is true. All that he says and does is true, and therefore has no need of repentance. 1 Samuel 15, verse 29. Also, the Eternal One of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. So this is part of our understanding of how God is infinitely above us, in the sense that we also can participate in the truth, we can know the truth, and we can speak the truth, but we are not like God in the sense that he is perfect in this. This is a perfection of God. He will not lie, and he will not have regret. He is not a man that he should have regret. Heading number three is, he is the God of, now this is a Hebrew word here. Pastor Howard's not here to give you the real Hebrew pronunciation, so just bear with me. He is the God of Hesed, which is Hebrew for loyal love. He is the God of Hesed and truth. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. So now may Yahweh show loving kindness and truth to you, and I also will show this goodness to you, because you have done this thing. So this is King David speaking to the men who buried Saul, who were faithful to their king after he had died. And he's speaking this blessing on them. And in his blessing, he references the loving kindness, the faithful, loyal love of God, and the truth of God. That he acts in these ways, and he will do this to them. And then therefore, David also will act this way to them because of their righteous action. In Psalm 40, verse 11, you, O Yahweh, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually guard me. So the psalmist here is speaking about how the Lord deals with him, how the Lord deals with him in loving kindness and in faithful, loyal love, and his truth is continually guarding him. This is the relationship that God has with his people, that he is guarding them with the truth, that he is keeping them in the truth, and that is tied together with his faithfulness and his loving kindness towards them. Heading number four, all of God's words are true and faithful. Again, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28. So now, O Lord Yahweh, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your slave. And so here we see David calling out to the Lord to come through in what he had promised. And he is speaking in faith that God will do exactly as he said, because God is true. His words are truth. And he has promised this good thing, and therefore he will do it. So he's calling on him, Lord, please do the thing you said you would do, and I know you will do it because you are truth. And you have promised this, and therefore it will be done. Psalm chapter 19, verse 9. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true. They are righteous altogether. The judgments of Yahweh are true. All that he declares, all that he judges in men's hearts is true, because he is the truth, and his words are true and faithful. He does not err. He does not lie. All of it is true. And so therefore he is the God who judges you and I truthfully. When he examines our hearts, he makes no error. He can see exactly who we are. His judgments are true. And that is a very sobering thought. We at times may be able to deceive people around us and put on some kind of a mask or a face, but God sees us as we truly are. And he sees our sin for what it is. And that's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, because God sees everything about who we are. And now that we are in Christ, if we are in Christ, then he sees us and judges us according to his Son. We have his Son's righteousness. That is how he sees us going forward. But his judgments are true. Psalm 95, verse 10. All the paths of Yahweh are loving kindness and truth to those who guard his covenant and his testimonies. All the paths, all the ways of walking, all the deeds of God are loving kindness and truth to those who guard his covenant and his testimonies. To those who, for us in the church, who are in Christ, all of God's ways towards us are loving kindness and truth. There is no deceit or disloyalty or unfaithfulness in the way that God deals with his people. All his ways are loving kindness and truth to his people. In Psalm 33, verse 4, for the word of Yahweh is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. For the word of Yahweh is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. Truth and faithfulness are a perfection of God. We see this all throughout the Psalms, this exact theme, praising God for his truth, his faithfulness, his loyal love. You can look at Psalm 111, Psalm 119, Psalm 142. Those are some other places that you can go to see examples of that. From Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, we see this section where Nebuchadnezzar, a Gentile ruler who had been humbled by God, he had shown great pride against God, and yet God humbled him. And then he repents, and then he actually writes this passage of scripture in Daniel chapter 4. He says in verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. And so this arrogant king who had blasphemed against God, God humbled him. And then he puts his words in his mouth to describe to the world through this emperor who God himself is. For all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar had firsthand experience of what that humbling could look like. But he praises him for all his works are true and his ways just. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, verse 7, he prays, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so Jesus is already, we read, described himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And now here he's speaking of the way in which God will be sanctifying his people by the truth, because God's word is true. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, in him you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So this word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, this is the true and faithful word of God that has been demonstrated to us, has been taught to us, has been recorded for us. And it is the means by which we have access to salvation through the truth that God has declared to us. Heading number 5, God is abounding in truth. He has an overabundance of truth. To his character is truth, and therefore there is no lack of truth. There is an overabundance of truth in him. Exodus 34, verse 6. Then Yahweh passed by in front of him and called out, Yahweh, Yahweh God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, abounding in that loyal, faithful love and in truth. Now this is Yahweh himself revealing himself to Moses. Moses had desired to see God. He wanted to know God and see him in such a way that he could comprehend him. And God puts him in the cleft of a rock and puts his hand over and passes by and says this. Describes himself this way, the self-revelation of God to the man who wanted so badly to see him. He gives him this understanding of who he is. Yahweh God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Our God abounds in loving kindness, in loyal love, in faithfulness, and in truth. Number six, God's faithfulness extends to the clouds. So this is Psalm chapter 36, verse 5. Your loving kindness, O Yahweh, as in your loyal love, your faithfulness, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. And that is to say, not a direct relationship to the actual sky, but it's a way of giving an image of this the abounding faithfulness and loving kindness of God, that it is unlimited. And when we look up into the sky, we don't see a ceiling, we don't see a limit, and that's the faithfulness of God. It reaches to the skies. Number seven, God is a rock of refuge because of his dependable firmness. So that's a description that we have of God throughout the Old Testament, especially that he is a rock of refuge, because he is dependable, because he is faithful to all he has promised to say and do. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. So this is a praise to God for who he is, recognizing the character of God, the attributes, the perfections of God in his faithfulness and in his truth. His ways are just. His work is perfect. This is our God, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. And this is just a wonderful thing to begin to ruminate on when we understand who God is as he has revealed himself to be, and we contrast that with the false idols that have been rebuked in the previous verses that we looked at. And when we understand the different cultures throughout the world and the different gods they've worshipped and how fickle those gods were and how harsh and unloving and unmerciful and even just completely selfish those gods were in those people's own myths about those gods. And yet this is our God. He is a rock. His work is perfect. His ways are completely just. He is a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. He is ultimately completely dependable in his truth and his faithfulness. And he doesn't change. He can be counted upon to do all that he has said he would do. And that is a wonderful thing. Psalm 18, verses 2 and 3. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So here we see the psalmist giving praise to God that is due to him, recognizing who God is and his character. He is this rock and fortress, a deliverer, a refuge, a shield, the horn of my salvation, a stronghold. This is who God is, dependable like a rock in his truth and in his faithfulness. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Trust in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh himself, we have an everlasting rock. So this rock motif is repeated throughout the Old Testament where God is described as a rock, is sort of the unchanging, dependable firmness of God. He is a rock of refuge and a shield, and he does not change. He is defined by truth and faithfulness, that dependability of God. And we see that in the motif of God being described as a rock. Number eight, God keeps his covenants. God keeps his covenants. Those solemn promises that he has made to his people, he will keep. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31. For Yahweh, your God, is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them. So God keeps his covenants. He does not forget them. He does not move on from them and sort of allow the passing of history and time to wash away a covenant that he has made. He will not forget the covenant with the fathers which he swore to them. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. And I prayed to Yahweh my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. And here Daniel is calling out to God that he would restore the nation of Israel to the land. And he's referring to the covenant that God made with his people as he beseeches him to fulfill that which he promised. And he's doing so because he knows that God is true, because God is faithful, because God will come through. He will keep his word. He keeps his covenants. And this is why we have a basis for confidence in our own salvation. Because what we have read, what we have understood from the Word of God about how we are to be saved is truth. And because God is truth and he is faithful, therefore we have confidence that he will ultimately bring about our final salvation. And that's point nine. God is faithful to give a full salvation. God is faithful to give a full salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. He does not fail. He will not go back on his word. God is faithful, and through him you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The faithfulness of God is inherent to our understanding of salvation. Our salvation depends on the faithfulness of God because he said he would do it, and therefore he will do it. He will save those whom he has purposed to save. He will save those who have called out to him, repenting of their sin, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would have the righteousness of Christ because of what he did on the cross. God will not fail to do this thing. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ shows that the sacrifice itself was accepted and gives us hope for our own resurrection, that God will keep his promises, that he will, of course, do what he said he would do in salvation. And we have absolute confidence in that because of who God is, because of his truth and his faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So our ability to resist temptation, our ability to walk in the light, is dependent on the faithfulness of God. We can resist temptation. We can fight against our sin. We can walk in righteousness because God is faithful, because he keeps his word, because he is the truth. And so anytime that God allows temptation to come into our lives, he also provides, because of his faithfulness, a way of escape, that we have what we need to resist that temptation, to escape from it, to endure it to God's glory. God is faithful in our sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 to 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Because of God's faithfulness, he will complete this work that he began in us. He will make it happen, that those who are in Christ will finish in Christ, and they will be glorified in Christ. And that is because of the faithfulness of God, because of the truth of God. He purposed to do it, he promised to do it, and he will do it. And therefore, then, we have this great peace in the God of peace, who is going to sanctify us who's going to preserve us, save our soul and body without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because faithful is he who calls us, who also will do it. He will accomplish it because of his faithfulness. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. And so again, we see that the faithfulness and the truth of God go hand in hand. God is true. All that he does and says and promises and commits himself to is true. He is the definition of truth. And his faithfulness is his absolute commitment to carry it out, to keep his promises. And that's why we can hold fast to this confession, to this hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, without wavering, without worry, without second guessing. We know that we will be glorified with Christ because he promised it. And he who promised is faithful. He does not fail. He will come through. Our hope for eternity is anchored in the truth and faithfulness of God. Hebrews 11, verse 11, this is the hall of faith, if you will, where we see many of the Old Testament saints described in the faith that they had in God. Verse 11 is talking about Sarah. It says, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she regarded him faithful who had promised. And so Sarah's faith was demonstrated in that she trusted God. She knew that God was faithful. God had promised, by this time next year, you will have a child. And so she trusted in God because she knew him to be faithful. She knew him to be the God who would not fail and who would do as he said he would do. And that's indeed what faith is. It's that confidence in something that we can't see with our own eyes, but that which we know to be true. And we know it to be true because we know God. We've learned God through his word. We know him to be faithful and true. And therefore, we have ultimate confidence in the outcome. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. He will do it. He will cleanse us. He will forgive us if we confess our sin to him. He is faithful to do so because he has said he would do so. And he is faithful and true. So in our salvation, we have the demonstration of God's truth and God's faithfulness. And number 10, all of God's promises in Christ are responded to by yes and amen. In what that is to say is that everything that God promised to do in his son is approved, is going to happen, is yes and amen, because God has purposed to do it, God has declared he would do it, and he will do it. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 20. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but has become yes in him. For as many are as the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen, to the glory of God through us. So all that God promised to do through his son, through the Messiah, is going to happen. And when the request comes from our lips that God would fulfill what he said he would do, the answer is, in Christ, yes. Yes and amen. It will be done. And that's how we can pray with confidence, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because it will be done. And that's how we can walk by faith. When we submit ourselves to God's will, we can pray with confidence, knowing that it will be done, because he is the true and faithful God. That is all the material that I had on this particular perfection of God, his truth and his faithfulness. We have a few minutes left. If there's any questions, we could handle those now, or anything we want to discuss, feel free.
purpose of your this is to focus a little more on the attributes of God than man, but I'm just wondering, and I see the direct worship that we'll have for God being faithful and true, that that implication is really clear to me. I'm wondering if you want to just talk a little bit about the communicable aspect of that, how our faithfulness, our truth, what do you think? Is that just our us being image bearers of God, if we need to call to that, or...
I think that's part of it, in the sense that being image bearers of God, we are capable of speaking things that are true, but in our fallenness, we are ultimately not capable of walking in the truth. But in Christ, as redeemed saints, we then can be proper image bearers of God in this sense, in that we can walk in truth and faithfulness. And to the extent that we know the truth and we desire to be holy as He is holy, then we will walk in the truth. That is our, you know, we will let our yes be yes and our no be no. We will tell the truth and we will be faithful to our commitments, to our promises. That is, I think, how this attribute is communicated to God's people, in that we're being sanctified in it. We're not perfect in it the moment we're saved, but we will be growing in a truth and faithfulness, because we are becoming like Christ. That's my thoughts on it. Do you have any?
I just thought, I think there is application to our day-to-day life, apart from the prayer and worship of God for that. You covered that well. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Well, that's in the heavens, right? Heavens,
okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father God, you are true and you are faithful. We give you praise and thanks for that, that you are a dependable rock, that you do not change, that you do not lie, that you do not repent as a man would. Father, you are truth and you are faithful. And we just we exalt your name. We rejoice in that we have this absolute confidence that because you are truth, because you are the truth, because you are faithful to do all that you have said you will do, we have ultimate confidence in you, that you will fulfill everything that you said you would fulfill, that you will bring it all to completion, including our own salvation, including our glorification before you in Christ. What a wonderful reality that is to know it, and a confidence that we can have to walk on this earth, even in this flesh, yet we can have that confidence for eternity because of who you are. So we rejoice in you, God. We thank you for your truth and your faithfulness. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. We pray, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit and through your word, help us to continue to know you more and more, to walk yet more faithfully with you, and to then be your ambassadors on this earth, that we would ourselves walk in truth and faithfulness, that we would speak the truth in love, and that we would be faithful to keep all that we have committed to as well. And that would be to your glory and to our joy. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, we are dismissed. The kids have about 5 minutes left, so let's try and keep the volume level down a little bit to not distract them. Thank you.